All right, good evening, friends. Thank you for being here tonight. This is our annual business meeting, and let's open with prayer. Our Father, we are so, so grateful for your love for us tonight. We are here because we love you. Lord, we're not here because we're looking for people to hang out with. We're not here for any kind of secular reason, any kind of reason that would be of the world or of the flesh. We're here because we acknowledge the one true and living God, and we want to give him his due. We want to worship him, honor him the way he deserves to be honored. We do that through our services, of course, and Lord, we are just grateful for the new life that you have given us that causes us to want to do these things. Thank you for giving us a heart that loves you back, knowing that we love you because you first loved us. So, Father, we acknowledge that even on this night when we're not necessarily spending an exorbitant amount of time in the Word of God, and yet this is definitely necessary. So we pray your blessing on it, and we're thankful for those that worked all year and that took their job seriously and that we'll be giving their reports tonight and that desire to serve you till their last breath. We pray that that would be true among all of us, that we would sense that that's true among all of us, that it might enhance the genuine unity that we can enjoy with one another, all around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Okay, I normally read an extended passage on this night, but I'm not going to do that. I just want to share with you a verse that has meant a lot to me over the years. It seems like recently, really in the last several months, the Lord's just reminding me of verses that he's used in my life in times past. It's amazing how that happens. Just it seems like there's a different one every week. Oh, I remember back like 20 years ago when God showed me that one, and it just kind of stuck with me for a long time. Well, this is one of those. It's Proverbs 21, the 21st chapter of Proverbs, and verse 30. It's not a very long verse at all, but it just has meant a lot to me. It's all about, it's a great verse on theology proper. I personally know of nothing that encourages my heart more than when I actually either learn something new or am reminded of something that I already knew about God. The more that I learn about God, the more stabilized I become and the more encouraged I become to continue on. And this verse has played no small part in that for me. And you can see it's just a terse, simple thing. Proverbs 21, verse 30 says, "There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord." You know, we think sometimes when the devil gets a hold of us, what am I doing going to this little podunk church? You know, I mean, there's so many more flashier things out there. Why do I go to church at all? There's so much out there in the world. There's so much of life to live, so much of life to be enjoyed. Why do I give up basically my whole Sunday and my Wednesday night to come to a place like this? And then I'm reminded of a verse like this, which just puts it all into a magnificent perspective. It really does. You'll notice you have an opening statement, which actually isn't even in the text, but it needs to be there for clarification. And all you have basically is three negatives, right? You see the word no, and then the word nor, and then the word nor. It's just three negatives. All right, so let's look at it this way. Here's God right here. All right, and this platform of my pulpit, okay, that's the world. God's here, the world's here. And what that verse says is that God is in complete control, absolute, total, sovereign, powerful control over every conceivable facet that's on the surface of this pulpit here. He owns the world. He died for those that are going to be extracted out of it. And there's just nothing. Well, let's just look at it. First of all, there's no wisdom. There's no wisdom that's against the Lord. That word wisdom there is a huge word in the poetic literature. It's the word chokmah. It's one of the words that you should know, actually. Like, it's like chesed, you should know that word, and you should know this word too, chokmah. It permeates the book of Ecclesiastes, and it permeates the Proverbs. This is the word where God says, of everything that exists in the universe, the one thing that you should desire is this, chokmah. And what it means is skill. Now, it's translated wisdom the overwhelming majority of times in our King James Bible, but it's also that which was referred to the two guys that constructed all that furniture in the tabernacle, Bezalel, and I forget the other one's name. And it has to do with a wisdom that promotes a skill in living. There's living that's not skillful, and there's living that is skillful. All right? And people that live skillfully have this trait, have this quality. All right, that's the positive look at chokmah. But then there's a chokmah that, you know, you can get over on things, and you are just adept at, at just pulling the wool over people's eyes and stuff. You're skillful in that. That's a negative kind of chokmah. All right, but generally, we don't even have to look at it negatively. There is no wisdom down here on the pulpit. There's no chokmah down here that can even come close to exceeding God's wisdom. Nothing. There's nothing that the world has to offer in that realm that ought to dissuade any of us from being faithful to the Lord right up to our dying breath. All right? So there's no wisdom. Then secondly, notice there's no understanding. Right? And the understanding there has to do with I've got information. The understanding there's no intelligent argument that can convince that should be able to convince a child of God that being here is not the best idea that you can have. Right? There's no argument that's going to thwart God. Nobody says I want to challenge that to God. I want to debate you. No, there's no debate. You're not debating anything. There's no intelligent argument. There's no I know why I shouldn't obey that. No, you don't. You absolutely do. Your understanding is nonsense to God. Nonsense. All right? So there's no skill level. There's no intelligent arguments. And then thirdly, to whom has God ever said, I wonder what I'm going to do on this one? I wonder what decision I'm going to make this time on this situation down here. I think I'll ask so-and-so what they think about it. No. Right? And so that's what the third one's about. There's no wisdom. There's no understanding. All right? Nor counsel. All right? And the word counsel is just, there's nobody down here that should even think that they're qualified to lend advice to God. Nobody. Nobody. And really, if you think about it, the world is full of just these kinds of people. Amen. I'm skilled. I know what I'm doing. I have great arguments against God and this church business. And if God asked me, I would tell him a thing or two. And that's why they're all going to hell. So this amazing verse, which I love so much and still do, says that none of that, it's a joke to even mention it. Because there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel that could ever come close to being successfully against the Lord. So you know what that means? That means that we're on the winning side. Amen. We are truly more than conquerors, even though most of the time you don't feel that way. Because we're just bound by this flesh and blood and this atmosphere and these things that weigh us down, and we lose our perspective. And that's why it's so important to just learn more and more and more about God. All of you should do yourself a favor. You waste lots of money. Not every month you're wasting money on something. Go to eBay, buy yourself A.W. Tozer's Knowledge of the Holy, and read it. Pay one page at a time, slowly, and see if it doesn't change your perspectives, and see if it doesn't bolster you in a positive direction. I guarantee you it will. It'll be the best $6-7 you've ever spent in your life. And probably that's what you can get it for. You get it used probably for $1, and then the majority will be the shipping. And it's just a magnificent work, and it just makes you full of God. It's a wonderful thing. When I think about this verse, I think about that section that we went over when we were in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 9 and verse 23. The prophet is, he's received revelation from God. And it says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." There's so many great phrases in Jeremiah, so many powerful passages. And that just, what I did was I made a cross-reference with Proverbs 21:30 with that Jeremiah passage, because I just love it. It's just wonderful. So who's the wise man? It certainly isn't the guy that says poo-poo to God, or that thinks he knows more than about life than God does, or that he has no use for God and no use for God's church, he's perfectly justified in being completely unfaithful, even though he says he's a Christian. That thing is it's answered in these verses, which we believe are sourced in heaven. And for me, they have been tremendous stabilizers. And I think that they can stabilize us, as we proceed into now 2024. We're well into it already. We're usually already done with this meeting by now, but that's okay. We'll get through it tonight. Okay? All right. Brother Fetruso.